Hey, Pat McGann in for Rick Kogan. Very excited to be with you. I'll be with you until the Blackhawks pregame, about an hour and a half. And hey, what is it, Palm Sunday out there? Let's shake those palms, baby. Free Barabbas. I don't know if people really are into Palm Sunday anymore, but it is, the for me, kicking off Holy Week. And what a way to kick it off with Loyola going down. What a bummer yesterday. You would think during this time of year, Lent, Holy Week, Loyola would roll. Really starts to test your faith. You wonder what Oregon State is doing. But anyway, I'm happy to be here with you. Again, in for Rick Kogan, which is, this guy is a legend, right? Does anyone really appreciate Rick Kogan? Like the Mike Ryko of our time? First of all, his voice. I will never do that justice, so I apologize. If you tuned in to hear Rick's voice, you're probably like, what happened to Rick? Lay off the helium, bud. Where's that gravelly, welcoming, comforting voice? Well, Rick is off today, guys, okay? He's probably writing an obituary of a well-known Chicagoan who has not died yet. I love that about Rick. He's got to write everyone's obit. I often wonder if he's just like sometimes bored at home looking for, I'm going to turn the news on. Who haven't I written an obit about? Maybe I'll knock out a few paragraphs. So-and-so is not looking too great. I didn't put that on anyone. You know, I don't want to get canceled. It's very, I think before I jump in any pool these days. We all have to, right? So I have a great show, I think, for you planned out. I got a buddy of mine joining us later, Kevin Bozeman, great comic, who actually is going to be calling us from Las Vegas. Don't know what shape he's going to be in when we get him, but I'm very much looking forward to speaking with my friend Kevin. And also join us a little bit, Bert Haas, who ran Zany's Comedy Club for forever. He ran it with Rick Hewitt for years, and then Rick passed away, I believe, in 2011. Bert was the executive president of Zany's for 30-plus years, 40-plus years. We have a lot to talk about. Bert's a great friend of mine. Met him in 2008 when I started stand-up. And if you're listening, you know Zany's Comedy Club. Legendary. They've been up. They've been open 40-plus years. It is the same. They got all the headshots on the walls. You know the place. It's the comedy mecca. You know, you hear Second City a lot. And this is what I always hear when I'm on the road. If I tell people I'm a comic. By the way, I do stand-up comedy. If you don't know who I am. I almost said the H word. On Palm Sunday. Oh, my goodness. My kids are listening. Anyway, I do stand-up. And everyone always asks me when I'm in another town. Oh, you're from Chicago? Do you do a lot of Second City? No. No. Different. We get along. It's a great place, Second City. But Zany's is stand-up. And that's a little bit different. So, we talked about Loyola. If you're disappointed, don't be. Great run. Just wasn't meant to be. They weren't hitting shots. That's where, when you're a scrappy team like that, you got to do the scrappy team things. And I was very concerned when they were missing free throws. Right? When the layups weren't going in. Couldn't hit a three. Major bummer. But we move on. If you want to find some comfort, I noticed this when watching the game. If you stare at the wolf, the logo, long enough, it turns into Sister Jean. Did you know that? If you stare at the wolf logo, it's really quite something to experience. All right. Got a note here that it's National Food on a Stick Day, March 28th. Did you guys know that? Here I come out saying it's Palm Sunday. No. That's the old days, Pat. It's now National Food on a Stick Day, and we're not going to church anymore. We're going on spring break. Everyone's on spring break all of a sudden. Even during the pandemic, did it really slow anyone down? Can you believe the amount of people that are going on spring break and just open about it? Just going down to Florida because the virus isn't real down there. I got a buddy who just flew down to Florida for the weekend. I go to a wedding. Got off the plane. He himself just stopped believing in the virus. Once you get to Florida, it just leaves your mind. Everyone's down in Destin in my neighborhood. Never heard of Destin until about 5 years ago. Now everyone goes to Destin or the Gulf Coast. This is the new spring break. I guess you avoid the college kids there?
Wait, Pat, nobody avoids the college kids anywhere in Florida.
Right?
That's just a thing.
Are you into this National Food on a Stick Day, Ben?
I'm on Food on a Stick any day thing.
I don't mind food on a stick. The best thing about food on a stick, I imagine, right, is when you're done with the food, you can pick your teeth with the stick. Is that the point?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever had that problem.
No?
No.
You're not a carnivore? You don't get
I very much am.
In your teeth?
I very much am. Thanks to Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, I once had 10 pork chops on a stick in one day.
That does not...
It was worth it. It was very much worth it. I would not advise riding one of the hot air balloons after all of that, but it was worth it.
When I think food on a stick, I think like a baseball game. Or my kids actually, sometimes their breakfast will be food on a stick. They got the sausage with the pancake wrapped around it.
Oh, those
are
awesome.
You just microwave that.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you actually cooked breakfast. You give your kid a hot breakfast. Meanwhile, you just hit three buttons. Yeah, the breakfast options are not significant in our house, especially with the theme of routine and repeating. My kids come down, it's like there's no menu anymore. It's like you're having Eggos. We got 96 of them at Costco. It's a countdown to the vaccine. When the Eggos are gone, we're going back out there. All right, I think we need to take a break. But as I mentioned, we got a great show. Kevin Bozeman's going to be joining us a little bit later. When I come back, Bert Haas will be joining me to talk about his long career at Zany's Comedy Club. I'm in for Rick Kogan, Pat McGann. You're listening to WGN 720. Hey, listening to WGN 720. It's Pat McGann. I'm in for Rick Kogan up until the Blackhawks pregame at 6:30. Thanks for joining us. I have someone joining me right now. I'm very excited about it. This guy is he's a great friend of mine. Let me just be upfront about that. But our relationship started as more of a business capacity at Zany's Comedy Club. When I was just starting out, I showcased there in, I believe, January 2008. I knew who Bert Haas was. He was running the club. And he did that for 40-plus years. He just retired. Kind of unceremoniously. I haven't really even addressed the retirement that much because I'm in denial. And I know that we're going to give him a due send-off soon. But I wanted to bring him on here to talk about his career and look back with him. Bert Haas, how are you?
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Great to hear you. Thanks for calling in. And
oh, well, this is quite an honor. I've never done a show without Rick Kogan being there, so... Let's hope this goes well. Otherwise, our dear friend Rick might be angry with us.
Yes, we already discussed how he's at home writing obituaries. Possibly one of ours.
And, you know, I realize, Pat, because of the pandemic, I don't think I have seen you for a full year now. So if it weren't for Facebook, I'm not even sure how you look anymore.
Not great. Not great. And everything you've seen of me this year has been filtered. That's not the real me. No, honestly, it's great to hear you. And yeah, probably the longest I've gone without seeing you. And congratulations, first of all, on retiring. And I know we're going to do something in the future.
No, thank you very much. I'm a little perturbed with the use of the word unceremoniously. You make it sound like I was booted out.
No, I just meant
I think
the
you meant
the
without ceremony.
Yes, the cloud of the the cloud of the last year. Under the the shadow of Corona. But
yeah, it's been tough.
You know, Rick, speaking of Rick Kogan, Rick wrote a great piece that was in the Trib, February? That really captured...
Rick, of course, is very kind. He's a great writer, and I always love when he writes something because, especially when he quotes me, he makes me sound almost intelligent. I appreciate that.
He does. But he did mention in your in the piece that perhaps maybe because of Second City or whatever the case may be, that you and Zany's may be underappreciated. on the impact you've had nationally on entertainment.
Well, that was very kind of Rick to say. I've always said that Chicago is an improv town. Second City, of course, is internationally famous. I.O. did a very good job while they were open. And I always thought that the stand-up scene here in Chicago was did have a tendency to be overlooked.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's sad because so many great stand-ups started here in Chicago. And one who, of course, had a movie released this week, Bob Odenkirk. I can remember very well when Bob was working the stages in Chicago.
That's amazing. Yeah, just go off with some of those names starting out.
Oh, my God. The list is endless. You know, you have Jeff Garland, of course, who was a house MC at Zany's for years. And Mark Roberts, who created Mike and Molly. Joey Gutierrez, who created his own show. I can't even begin to name all the... And those are the people that started in Chicago doing stand-up. Ali LaRoy, one of the co-creators of... Everybody Hates Chris. Chicago it's been a great comedy scene for many years, both improv and stand-up. I think stand-up overlooked, although recently in the last couple of years, I think it's starting to receive more recognition as the Chicago comedians go to the media centers and say, hey, this is what we're doing in Chicago. You people better pay attention. Hannibal Buress is a good example of that.
Yeah, Hannibal, and no one worked harder than Hannibal when I was starting out. I think he left Chicago maybe a year or two later, but he was really hustling and getting on every stage and working every type of room.
Well, and the great thing about Hannibal that I always used to say was he performed 7 nights a week, and he didn't have a car. I'm not even sure how he got to half the gigs.
Right.
And then it turned out, I found out later from him that it wasn't that he didn't have a car. He had so many parking tickets that had been impounded. So rather than pay the parking tickets, he managed to find his way to the gigs. I don't know if he went on foot or by bus, but he worked every night he was in Chicago.
Yeah. I want to talk about the ups and downs of comedy, because I don't know if a lot of people appreciate that. At one time, there were many stand-up comedy clubs in like the boom of the 80s. And yes. How Zany's really persevered throughout that time when there was a bust, when, what was it, cable TV probably contributed a lot to that?
Cable TV, late night television, and there was just an oversaturation of the market. At one time, the city had 17 full-time comedy clubs that just did pure stand-up comedy. And that this was hot in the 80s, it faded in the 90s, it got to be very bleak. In the early to middle 90s, as with any boom, there's inevitably a bust. And the way Zany's survived was, I think, Rick Hewitt, the owner of Zany's, just stayed true to his belief that comedy, stand-up comedy, is best performed in an intimate room. And you know, because you've performed there many times, the Zany's on Well Street is one of the smallest clubs in the country.
Yes, and one of the most intimate. I'm talking to Bert Haas, who is the heart and soul of Zany's, 40-plus years. Started, what, serving drinks there?
February of 1980.
Who was the first comic that you saw when you were like, wow, that's a star?
Oh, well, that would probably... Well, in terms of Chicago, you had, of course, Emo, although he wasn't Emo back then. He was Phil Sultanic.
Right.
Or Phil Buffk, I don't remember which stage name he was using. Jim Fay, who then later went on to great success with Second City, was the house MC back then.
Was Emo at the time with Judy Tenuta?
There were rumors to that effect, but Judy was her own separate act and her very much her own person.
Sure.
And then I would say probably the first big-time out-of-town act that I said, wow, was Jay Leno.
Yeah. And he had a really great relationship with Zany's.
Became very good friends with Rick, and was a good friend of Rick's and Zany's.
How about Eddie Murphy when he dropped in at Zany's?
Met him the one time. That's an interesting story to me. I'm not sure the listeners will hear it, but at Zany's, I was working the front door on a Saturday night. We were rocking out, and bartender grabbed me and said, "Bert, there's a guy I need to talk to now." I went back. I'm like, what the heck? I'm busy. I don't have time for this. And then the person, of course, was Paul Mooney, who had been at Zanies before. He said, I got a friend of me who'd like to get some stage time. And the friend, of course, was Eddie Murphy.
Insane. I mean, that would happen, though, sometimes. When I was down there hosting a lot, you know, you'd have someone drop in. I saw George Carlin. George Carlin came in, didn't even, like, talk to anyone, didn't seek out stage time, just sat in the back, watch a couple comics, just to be,
Rosie,
I think,
O'Donnell,
around it.
Yeah, I remember when Rosie came back with her show here in Chicago, and she stopped in and did time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always someone getting up on stage. You know, that's one of the fun things that makes the live entertainment so much fun, is you never know who's going to be there. You never know what's going to happen on that particular show.
Yeah. What were some of the biggest changes you think you saw over the years?
Oh, probably the evolution of language. And I would say the two biggest changes in stand-up comedy and over the 40 years was the change in language, what was considered clean, what was considered dirty, and then also the style. You know, I grew up, I came up with a certain style, the observational comic, the Jerry Seinfelds, the Jay Lenos, and then it evolved into more of a what they call alternative comedy, stream of consciousness comedy, where there's a lot more talk. And not quite as much emphasis on just a dreadful joke.
Yeah.
Humorous talking. That's how I would describe it. The evolution from observational comedy to humorous talking.
Yeah, I'm talking to Bert Haas, who ran Zanies from 1980 until 2 weeks ago, basically.
And may I say, Pat, that out of all my discoveries and all the people that I've crossed paths with, you remain one of my fondest.
Oh, come on. Is that because I had you on the show?
First time, not just because you're letting me be on your show, but first time we met, I think you and I just hit it off, and we've always had a great relationship.
No, we certainly did. And being house MC at Zanies was the opportunity of the lifetime for me. And really, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing now if I didn't have that stage time and those opportunities, and just to be in that atmosphere and meeting comics and seeing every act. That's what people don't understand. Zanies is one of the only clubs in the country. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. There might be a handful of others that are, it's open every night of the week. And I think Chicago doesn't really appreciate the fact that doesn't happen in every city.
Correct that. We were open every night of the week prior to the pandemic.
Right.
But then we're getting close to it again. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Prior to the pandemic, Zanies was the only club in the country that was open that did headline shows 7 nights a week. There were other clubs that are open, but they would do open mics or showcases, and we did headline shows every night. That's evolved a little because of the pandemic, but, you know, 2020 has been a tough year.
Yeah, I wouldn't even judge it on that. I mean, it's going to be a seven-nighter again very soon.
Yeah, I'm confident. Yeah, and Bonnie Hunt always said that one of the reasons that Chicagoans are so optimistic is because we have to be to survive our winters. And I kind of like to think that 2020 was just a long, lousy winter. And now we're coming out of it. It's going to be spring and summer again.
That's a great thought. You want to hang with me for just
absolutely.
A couple more segments here? Bert Haas,
sure.
Zanies Comedy Club, appreciate you joining us. You're listening to 720 WGN Chicago. Hey, Pat McGann in for Rick Kogan. I'm talking with Bert Haas of Zanies Comedy Club. Actually, just retired. I can't even say it, Bert. I'm trying. I'm practicing.
That's because you're still a young man.
I want to... Hey, you're also a recent grandfather. How about that?
Yes, thank you very much. My oldest boy, who you've met several times, is in St. Louis with his wife, and they have a new daughter. And yes, it was very pleasant. My wife and I were able to sneak down there and see them, but...
That's awesome.
Your listeners don't want to hear my grandpa stories.
Well, I wanted to just juxtapose this new grandfather role with partying in the 80s with Kinnison. Did you tell your granddaughter about partying with Kinnison?
Nay on those kind of stories. I actually joined the comedy business at a great time during the 1980s, and we were starting an industry. You know, when in 1978 when Zanies opened, there was no network of comedy clubs like we know them today. You basically had the comedy clubs in L.A., the Store and the Improv, and you had some in New York, and then you were in Chicago. And so it was kind of like a building of an industry, and then I was young and full of energy, and, you know, you had some wild people back in those days. And Kinison was certainly one of them.
And then you opened the club down in Nashville. They sent you down there to get that one going. That's still going.
Yes, I did. And I just heard on the news that they're having some flash flooding from our sister club. I have to call down there and see what's going on.
Oh, man. They've had a year, right?
Yeah, it's been tough.
That's a great club, though, the Nashville club.
You've been down there, yeah. And, you know, we should talk about another Chicago native that's done quite well, Sebastian.
Oh, yes.
Although he did not start doing stand-up here in Chicago, he's certainly from here.
He certainly is, and that's where I met him, right? I mean, I met him when he was coming through Zanies and selling out comedy clubs. That's the kind of the point of the career he was in. So you really saw his rise. And
yes. And that's exciting. I have to say, Pat, one of the most exciting parts of my life and my career was able to observe people like yourselves. You come in, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way. You were a new talent. You were starting stand-up comedy. And you, of course, have great talent, and you had great stage presence, but you didn't really have your act down yet. And then to see you develop over the years and is just really fascinating and been so much fun for me.
I mean, that's that's I think why you have the relationships that you do, is because you come at it from that way. You cultivate talent, and you have relationships.
Well, you and I have talked at length in private about this. We're always amazed by people in our industry who say, well, we don't like comedians. They're a pain in the neck. Well, then get out of the business.
Right.
That's what I tell them. You know, you go to the, then go run a restaurant somewhere if you want to be in the food and beverage business. But yeah, the comedians are to me, is just what makes the business so fun.
Yeah. The 40-year anniversary was a big year, and I'm sure it was like a little bit emotionally draining too, because I remember you going through the club and finding a bunch of, you know, kind of like going through your past. It's like going through your basement, and you found some great...
Yeah, that was where I went through the files. I found that personal letter from Ellen DeGeneres, and I found some pictures that I had never seen before, and yeah, it was really great. There were some backstage shots of Rick with different comedians. You know, Tom Dreesen and Jimmy Alec were there, and I had completely forgotten we did that benefit with them. So, yeah, it was that was an exciting year for us. And then, of course, we had special guests every month. And I think, what did you do now? Were you headlining the club that year?
No, I don't think I was headlining yet.
No, not yet?
No, but I was definitely in there as house MC and...
Yeah, I was going to say you worked that year. It would have been 2018. That it's only 3 years ago. It seems like forever because of this pandemic. We had this kind of long pause in our lives.
I know. Yeah, when I started there at Zanies, all the headshots were on the walls. When you started there, was it really literally just like the back?
There were no headshots. Those went up starting in about 79. No, I'm sorry, not 79, about 81.
And if you're listening, if you've never been to Zanies, you have to go just to step foot in the room. It is a small, intimate club, and that's what you need for comedy. You need people right on top of each other. It's very counterintuitive right now, but that is the recipe, right? I mean, when the news came out about the pandemic, it was like, really? Everything that we need? Like, you have to spread out. You can't be inside. But the fact that that club was the one to survive makes sense to me, because it's just authentic, as Rick said, unpretentious, always embracing the identity of it by putting up headshots, by kind of like creating a culture there. Did you take any mementos with you? Like, when you were you like, I'm taking something off the wall, or?
Oh, no, I think I got a couple of Zanies matchbooks. I think they threw them at me as I walked out the door. So I think that's about it. I have some Zanies wear. I think I have a long sleeve small women's T-shirt that I wear around the house. So
it's just some gear, nothing.
Yeah, I stole the computer. Are you happy, Pat?
Hey, I'm gonna bust you. Tell people about the history of the actual building, because I believe it was a strip club.
Well, that was before my time. It was at one time an adult entertainment establishment for about 9 months, and then it was closed down. The city closed the club down, and then it was vacant. Then it reopened to Zany's in November of 1978, everyone thinks of Zany's as being the kind of this overnight success, but we had some hard years because the country itself was in a tough recession from 1980 until about 1983.
Yeah. And that's when, like, Burn Baby Burn kind of...
Yeah, well, Burn Baby Burn helped, but it was really our focus on stand-up comedy, and Rick just believed that it should be an intimate room. And then, of course, when the boom came, we had many offers to expand the room, move the location, and we always said no. Let's keep it small. Let's keep it intimate. We did open some suburban locations. Of course, you've been to the one in Rosemont, but we always kept the original room the way it is.
You know what story I love is, because I have an appreciation for Old Town, and you know that's also a great thing that you've experienced, just the evolution of Old Town through the years.
And, yeah, it's very interesting.
But like Redimax, right? And then Redimax was like consulted and helped open the kitchen for the club in Vernon Hills, correct?
Nashville and Vernon Hills. Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. Both of those clubs.
That's a great little tidbit.
Yeah, well, we always had strong support on the street, and I always think highly of Second City because when we first opened. And if they had a sold out show, they were always sending customers our way.
Yeah,
it was that we always I always had a great relationship with them. I would say Kelly Leonard is I'm not sure I would call him a friend because I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but he certainly was a professional acquaintance of mine. We saw each other every year almost. We'd have a cup of coffee or share a drink.
Yeah, I always felt like there was a good relationship there, and I know that like the Zany's. Wait staff just going into Ale House and connecting with people from Second City.
Yeah, exactly.
There was definitely
that was all part of the scene. There's, you know, I always describe the intersection of North and Wells as Comedy Central in Chicago because you've got Second City north of North Avenue, and then just south of North Avenue is Zany's.
It really is something else, and it's a part of the city that even on a Monday, Tuesday night is alive and with people from out of town and coming into shows and seeking live entertainment. That's what makes it so special. I'm talking to Bert Haas of Zany's Comedy Club, 40 plus years, just retired. And we're going to be doing a roast of Bert Haas. Bert, I haven't told you this yet. We're doing a roast of Bert. And just I talked to Pritzker about when we can all gather, we're going to have a roast. We have to talk about Sally. You met your wife at Zany's.
Yes, I did. Sally Edwards, professional comedian, still working as the pandemic allows. And she's doing some private gigs. In fact, she's got one coming up shortly. But unfortunately, has not been working the club as much because of this whole pandemic thing. It's been tough. You know, I don't need to tell you. I know you lost a lot of work last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been definitely had to go into like the virtual, you know, that world, which, you know, the first time you do it, you're like, what is this? I can't do this. Yeah. And then you realize that you have to feed your children and you will do it. You will do it. All right. We got one more segment with you. If you're up for it, Bert, I know you're retired. I know you're probably in the rocking chair and you need to whittle that wood, but I want to talk to you for just a few more minutes.
I'm in my pajamas.
Nice. I love it. Thank you for the visual. I'm talking to Bert Haas, in for Rick Kogan, Pat McGann here on WGN 720. Hey, Pat McGann in for Rick Kogan, and I'm talking to a friend of Rick's. And a great friend of mine, Bert Haas of Zany's Comedy Club, just retired. Bert did. Again, I missed it, Bert. Didn't say it.
What's that?
That you're retired. I'm still.
Yes, I'm sitting here in my easy chair with my PJs on, just waiting for the sun to go down. That's
Oh, man. I mean, I have to thank you. I mean, you're my mentor. You got me going in this whole thing.
Oh, you've... Dad, you were going to be a success no matter what.
You talk about Jeff Garland being house MC. Jeff told me that he would go wherever on Wells Street, come back right before the show was about to start, just stick his thumb out from behind the curtain. And like, I don't know, it was a Martine or somebody would see him and start the show.
Well, actually, at one point, Jeff had an apartment directly across the street from the club.
Oh, that must have been it.
And we would call him and say, okay, we're starting the show now. And then he would saunter over. everyone talks about alternative comedy. I don't think Jeff Garland has been given enough credit because, in my opinion, he invented alternative comedy. Jeff Garland will talk on stage the same way he talks off stage. And it was absolutely amazing. We would be talking about, for instance, the Cubs off stage, and then the show would start, and he would walk on stage and continue the conversation with the audience as if they had heard what he had said to me backstage. And, of course, make it hilariously funny, and I would be going, this is amazing what he's doing up there.
Yeah, he's a one of a kind. I mean,
great improvisational talent.
He sure is. I got to open for him many times down there, and every show was different. He would come up with some kind of narrative in the beginning. Mm-hmm. There'd be threads, right? But right. Everything was different, and everything was in the moment.
Right, in the moment, exactly.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And sometimes mm-hmm. you don't even think of Jeff right off the bat when you think of Chicago because of the amount of names, right? I grew
right.
up on the South Side, and John Caponera was... John, I think he's one of the best comics. You talk about someone flipping a switch. Talk about John Caponera.
John was a bartender MC at Zany's. Rick discovered him. Rick Hewitt, the owner of Zany's, who unfortunately passed away. And Rick found John. John had graduated from Governor State, I think, and communications major, and was trying to get into performing. Started doing stand-up, came in, auditioned, and he had John was also working as a bartender, so Rick said, well, here's what you can do. You can bartend, and then in between, you can go on stage and do sets. And so John would run back to the bar, get all the orders, and then at some point, he'd have to run back on stage, and all the servers would line up waiting to get their drink orders filled, because John would be on stage doing his set.
And then at some point there was a rule put in where if you worked there, you weren't going to be doing stage time.
Yeah. And then it got to be, I think I listened to one too many complaints from the servers. And then I just told Rick, I go, how about we just make John the professional performer? And so then we did. And he was our house MC for a long time.
Yeah. Such a great comic. And
great guy too. Just from the South Side, you know, grew up in Bridgeport.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
You know, we should do a shout-out to another Southside comedian friend of ours, Kevin Naughton from Canaryville.
Oh, Kevin's great, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's like I haven't seen all these comics for so long because of the situation, right? And that's what I miss almost as much as getting on stage is talking to other comics, being in the green room, having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The green room at Zany's, I don't know if you've been there, but tight club, it's upstairs. So you have to go, and it's a steep staircase. And then you have to get down to the show. And if you haven't had a panic attack from on that staircase, then you haven't worked Zany's enough.
Yeah.
It is really something to experience.
There's nothing worse than the MC that thinks he has 5 minutes until the show closes and darts into the bathroom upstairs. And then all of a sudden hears, it's over.
Right.
And he has to scurry quickly, compose himself, and run down those stairs and then run through the entire length of the room to get to the front stage.
Yeah, because every square inch is capitalized on. It's this tight place. So it's a narrow hallway to each bathroom, and then you got to shimmy by everybody, get up there. Larry Reeb always had the best idea to put a fire pole from upstairs and just slide down onto the stage.
Exactly.
The pole should still be there from when it was a strip club in the early 70s. Why'd they even take the pole out?
I don't know.
That was an apartment up there too, right? Wasn't it?
Yes. What is now the office was an apartment. Comedians used to stay up there. Paula Poundstone stayed up there on her trip You know, Paula Poundstone took a Greyhound bus from Boston to San Francisco when she moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and one of her stops was Chicago, and she stayed at Zany's, literally worked the club, and stayed upstairs at the apartment.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster, too, if you are a partying, hard-drinking comic, and you stay.
Well, Paula is not, right. But she said it was a tough night for her because the ice machine would drop ice every, like, 4 minutes.
Oh, God.
So she was trying, every time that she'd start to settle down, she'd hear that boom.
Not the Jimmy Schubert ice machine.
Well, we've cleaned it up a little since Jimmy.
The story I love is Larry in Nashville pulling into Zany's Nashville, and they get there, and how was the week when the other comics are packing up, and they're like, oh, you know, Douglas died. Like, thought he had a bad...
Yeah, that was a sad tragedy.
Thought he had a bad week.
Yeah.
It was literal. All right.
Yes.
Bert, you're looking at things from the business side. I was looking from the comedy side.
Well, you know, I always say that I once got into trouble with a doctor because I made a what he felt was an inappropriate joke. And I tried to explain to the hospital. I said, comedians, if they walk into a room and are told that your father died, the first thing they will do is make a joke about it. And then they'll give you a big hug and wish you condolences. That's just the way comedians handle their emotions. So, it's not that they're uncaring people. They just have a unique way of looking at the world. That's how they handle it.
That's why they've been suffering so much this year. They can't get out. They can't do their therapy.
I feel sorry for your poor wife who has to listen to all your jokes, Pat.
My coping mechanism was for a while, red wine and The Last Dance. That's when Sarah knew to, like, leave me alone. He's going into the red wine and Last Dance phase.
Well, I used to love your videos with the kids. Until the kids realized that you were using them for your gain and just went, we're not interested, Dad.
At some point, I hit a wall. I was just, I think the I don't know if it was depression or anger, something took over. But I noticed it when I was unloading the dishwasher. You ever unload a dishwasher and, like, grip the knife for a little longer than usual and scan the room? And you're like... And then Sarah steps in. Daddy, it looks like Daddy's tie. He might need to lay down. Yeah, I miss doing the shows for that reason, right? Just to
That out. It's good. It's been great talking to you because I haven't seen you in a while, and I hope when this whole pandemic clears up and we've all been vaccinated and we can, you and I can get together and hoist one together.
Oh, well, we're going to hoist several. It's going to be a 2-drink minimum, Bert. You ever hear of that? You wear that rule? It's going to be in full force at the retirement extravaganza. All right, I want to talk real quick before I get you out of here. I asked you about some of the challenges of running a club for 40-plus years. I don't want you to get emotional, but talk about some of the things that you're going to miss.
Oh, well, what am I going to miss? Well, I the camaraderie of the comedians, of course, and the sense of discovery. That's what I always like. You know, not everybody who gets on stage is going to become a professional comedian. They have hopes and dreams. And it's when you, and so you look at a lot, you've been to a lot of showcases and you look at people and you go, oh, that person. But I decided a long time ago, I wasn't going to be the one who, there's a story that when Richard Pryor started, someone in Peoria told him, you're not funny. Don't do stand-up. And I decided 40 years ago, I wasn't ever going to tell anybody they weren't funny.
Right.
So I tried to help them, and I missed that development process of watching someone grow.
And now you're developing dogs.
Yes, unfortunately.
Did you retire to work at a kennel?
By the way, Ted, I have to thank you. The Haas house has been without internet for the last 24 hours.
Oh, no.
And the serviceman has arrived, but you've managed to help me fill up some of that time, and I thank you for that.
Oh, the serviceman's there? I love it. Yeah. My first guest has to go because the serviceman's there. Hey, man, I got to go. My internet's out. So carry your little show on by yourself.
You're doing a great job, Pat, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, go take care of what you need to take care of. Bert, okay. Thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on such a great career. That's Bert Haas from Zany's Comedy Club joining us.
Thank you for having me today, Pat.
Thanks, Bert.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I met Bert in 2008, and that's a little bit of an emotional conversation for me because, as you heard, I have not seen him for a year plus. That's a guy I would see several times a week, and just a great guy, and did so much for the comedy scene here in Chicago. I always say this about Bert Haas. When you go to a comedy club and you're up there and doing a guest set or a showcase, you're more often than not trying to get the attention of the booker, and you want the person that books the room to see your set. And not a lot of the people that run clubs bother doing that. They just don't, for whatever reason. But Bert Haas always had a rising star showcase that you could get on. If you had a dream to be a comic, you could get on this rising star showcase after you got a little bit of, you know, stage time under your belt, did some open mics. And he would watch this rising star showcase. Here's a guy that booked a national comedy club, a room in a city, and he would sit back there on Monday night, which you think would be his night off, and watch every comic and write notes on every comic and then talk to you after the show about what he liked, what he didn't like, and maybe what you need to do to be working at the club. So I wish him well in his retirement, and I thank you guys for listening to the conversation. Pat McGann, 720 WGN. Pat McGann here for Rick Kogan on WGN 720. Very excited about my next guest. He's a great comic, and he's right here in Chicago. You can see him coming up. I know in middle of April, April 15th to 17th, he's going to be at Zany's in Rosemont. If you want some of Kevin before that, check out his podcast. He's a host of a great podcast called The Ball Hog, and I love Kevin, and I'm going to talk to him right now. Kevin Bozeman, are you in Vegas?
I am in Las Vegas.
Nice.
Happy to be on the radio with you. You deserve to be heard in the lovely city of Chicago. And I'm also happy that you are taking me away from making awful decisions in Vegas.
How many nights have you been there? How many bad decisions have you made?
So you just have to say 7 a day, and this is day 5, so 35.
That's great. How are you doing on the games? Have you did you bet on Loyola yesterday? What happened with that one?
Loyola was, I mean, they just couldn't make a shot.
I know. I said earlier, man, the scrappy teams got to do the scrappy things. They were missing free throws, turning it over.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I mean, you would want them to have went further since they beat Illinois, which is also a favorite. But it's good. It's fun. You know, it got a Final Four, a Sweet 16, and this is Loyola. So,
right? Are you hanging? Together. Are you hanging in the sports book out there?
I was in a sports book. It's pretty. It gets kind of crazy packed. So, and when it gets too crowded, I kind of leave, so you know, because it gets too crowded, but it's fun with all the TVs right there. I've been calling it my office all week.
That's great. So Kevin Bozeman, guys, if you don't know this about him, in addition to being a great comic, he's a gambling expert, really, often providing tips on the Ball Hog podcast. How are you doing in the NCAA tournament as a predictor?
Well, I'm the only person that I know to pick Alabama to win it, and they're still in it. But man, Gonzaga looks great. Gonzaga looks great. All three of my final four teams are still in, except for University of Illinois. So decent, but not, you know, I don't think I'm going to be winning anything major, but I unless Alabama wins it. And I really like that Alabama team. Who did you have?
You know what? I didn't fill out a bracket, but I did get I have Gonzaga in like a Calcutta draft league. But I also had Texas. They got bounced early. And who else did we have? We had a third team, Clemson, that they also got bounced early. Yeah, I didn't really get in a bracket this year. I've been watching games, though. I just started watching really this weekend. And I love that you timed the Vegas booking with the dance. It's a great move. It's a veteran move. How are the shows going out there?
The shows are great, and you are correct. I specifically picked this week because of March Madness. So
I saw that, Kev. I could see the big picture. I am also a veteran at the game. I book my own shows too. I tried to get this week. They said Kevin has it. By the way, I saw Kevin is out working at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at MGM. It's a great comedy club. And he posted, go to Kevin's Instagram. You posted a picture of you with Brad Garrett from the other night. Dude, he's taller than you.
Yeah, my man. It's not many people that's taller than me in the business. Because, you know, I'm a solid 6'5 dude. And he's
come on.
I'm 6'5, so that puts him at about 6'8, my man.
I would guess you're 6'7. You're not 6'5.
No, I'm 6'5. He's about 6'9. He's such a good dude. He runs such a good club. And then our old friend Cindy from Zany's runs it. And it's just good to be back working, you know?
Well, yeah. And the Zany's Comedy Club in Rosemont, they modeled their green room after the green room in Las Vegas, I believe, because he's got the best green room out there. Brad Garrett takes care of the comics, and that's a great environment. Are you guys doing just one show a night?
No, so we did two on Saturday, two on Friday. They added a Wednesday show because they're just starting to open back up. So it's starting to get a little bit back to normal. And plus, it's like 75 degrees here, my man. I don't know if I'm coming back. What's the weather in Chicago?
Kevin, you have kids.
No, but they'll understand.
They're going to get it. You can do some Zoom shows.
They'll get it. Mom, it's 80 degrees. What do you expect them to do?
Tell me about the capacity out there and what the shows are feeling like.
So they actually moved it from the original comedy club and moved into a bigger theater so they can spread people out. It's really good for social distance. Everyone's masked up except for the drinks and stuff. They're masked up in the show. So it's a big venue. So that part is fun, you know, to play to a bigger audience. And other than that, yeah, it's just, you know, the same. Everything's the same.
Would you say Vegas
is your timing back?
Yeah. That's a tough stretch to do Vegas, though. Anything more than a couple nights out there. I mean, I know it, man. And you got a long walk to the...
I try to treat myself like it's still the heart of COVID. I am in quarantine. I cannot go downstairs, and I will make horrible decisions. It's just evil down there. I know that in my hotel room, that's my safe zone. Everything below me is nothing but bad intentions. Dude, so I try to stay.
Based on your voice.
You were like, will you do my show? I was like, can I just come on with you when it first starts and just stay on with you?
Your voice, man, I can picture the like crinkled dollars on the nightstand in there. Some casino chips, maybe like.
I've aged 9 years in these 5 days.
How many empty water bottles are on that hotel room floor?
You know, it's crazy. I wish we was on Zoom or something. I'm looking at like six empty water bottles and some Metamucil tablets.
That's great. I'm talking to Kevin Bozo. Kevin, hang with me, all right? You guys are listening to 720 WGN Chicago. Oh, wow. You coming at me with the... Is this the Rickroll? Oh, goodness. This is what Kevin and I always listen to when we hang out. Some Rick Astley.
Together Forever?
You know it, man. Oh, man. I'm with Kevin Bozeman, Pat McGann, in for Rick Hogan. Kevin, you were talking about the Zoom shows as we went to break. Did you have to do a bunch of those this year?
I did quite a few of Zoom shows. I actually like these Zoom shows. I mean, you know, once you just get into a rhythm of performing, it was for a lot of businesses and companies and, you know, law firms and banks and hospital staffs and fundraisers. So, yeah, I did quite a few of them. I believe that they're here to stay. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Which would be nice, a little bit of extra stuff that could, you know, be added to the situation. But I don't, if you think it's going to replace stuff, you think, or just be in addition to?
They'll do some replace, but I think it'll just be another thing that's just out there. I feel like for us, we're comics, right? But we're also small business owners. We're our own business. So when you're like, we are entertainers, we're just natural hustlers. That's how it is. We just have to hustle. So when things like Zoom comes up, you either adapt or you get left behind. So I choose to adapt. So I'm embracing it. I'm happy for Zoom and WebEx and all these other things. That's just gives us another way to be seen, heard, grow, and entertain.
Right. I'm going to start introducing comics like that. You ready for your next small business owner? Put your hands together for... And then I'll rattle off your tax ID. Put your hands together for number... 997-6532. Oh, man.
No, I want you to introduce me. You may have seen him on Zoom. You may have seen him on Microsoft Meet.
You might remember this guy from unmuting himself. You might remember him from Speaker View.
I find that to be the thing that I do that kind of weirds people out, is that I ask them to mute themselves during the show. Because when you are performing, like, you want to hear the laughter, but you also hear the dogs barking, the drinks spilling, the people having the conversation, yelling at each other, keep it down, I'm on Zoom. Like, you hear all of that. Right. So I'd rather just keep them silent, and then I could still see them laughing and perform that way. But one time I did a show, and they misunderstood what I said. So not only could I not hear them, I could not see them. I just spoke into a computer screen.
Oh, I had that experience too, when you're just going into the abyss and you have to like zone out. It's really like something else, like how much we've adjusted to those. And I don't mind them either. It is a way to connect with people and to talk, just to get some stuff out. Are you finding, like, as you're doing live shows, like the material you're doing, is it like some old stuff harder to sell, or are you doing like just new stuff, just recent stuff? And
no, I'm still trying to get my sea legs under me a little bit. Because before I used to just go up on stage and just go. But now I have a new stuff, and I just have some of the old stuff as I work in more new material. So, yeah, it's give and take. It's probably about 70%, 80%. New 20-30%.
Whatever you just did, move back to just where you were a second ago. Sound like you are you packing right now?
I'm not packing. But what happened? You couldn't hear me?
You put yourself in the bag.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, I said I'm about 70-80% new material, 20-30% old material.
And you feel like the crowds are hungry for it? For comedy?
Oh, yeah. The crowds, the people that come out definitely are excited for it. But then, you know, the numbers aren't quite what they used to be, you know?
Yeah. Are you yourself ready for the roaring 20s? Do you have another decade of partying in you?
I just had that question. So I was close. I said before the pandemic kicked in, I was really close to coming out with a new album. So now I'm trying to build that back up and then get another album. And then I feel like I got one more album in me, and then it's time to start figuring, do I really want to do this? Because my kids are starting to go off to college. I want to be able to travel and go see them whenever I want and go to their games and all sorts of things like that. So it's going to start being a year-to-year basis. But I'll never truly ever retire. I just don't know if it will be like my number one income anymore.
Well, especially now that Zoom shows are here to stay. None of us will ever retire. Just turn that laptop on, do some time.
Yeah.
Just make fun of everyone's background. That's the best thing about the Zoom show. It's like, turn your cameras on. We're just going to make fun of where you live.
Now, that's what you do. So you're a magician at that. You are a roast master. You're so good at and so quick-witted. And I just throw my blinders on, man. Just material. And my material, I try to make it funny, and also I want them to be uncomfortable. I want them to feel bad about laughing at some of the stuff I say.
What are some things you're talking about right now?
That's a great question. I would say just the adjustment of getting back to regular normal life, you know,
right,
is one of the things, and how it's affected me and everything around me. That's probably the number one, without running my bits to say, hey, let me see if your listeners like this joke.
Right. I've been trying to talk about, like, everyone that's like, well, once it gets back to normal, or everyone's like, but everyone that says that is not normal. You notice that everyone that wants it to get back to normal is like the furthest from normal. Like, you don't know what normal is.
Well, I don't think it's an hour. I think we have to accept we're going to have a new normal. I mean, it's just going to, like, for example, I was watching a TV show just like, and it was from like a few years ago. And I was like, dude, wait, why are they so close to each other? Why are they sharing food? Like where are their masks at?
Right.
Like, for me, I can't imagine myself not wanting to just have a mask with me when I travel. Like, I haven't been sick in over a year now.
Really? You sound like hell right now. You sound like you have the Vegas sickness.
I've been drunk for 4 days in a row. But my heart and my liver is still solid.
Right. No, you sound great, man.
No, I love you. You're like, dude, you sound awful.
You're like, I haven't been sick.
It's so hard to sleep.
I haven't been sick in a year. I haven't been sick. I feel so good.
I go to bed with, I have a free cigar before I go to bed, and then I wake up and finish it.
That's beautiful. I can't wait to have one with you. I feel like,
yeah, I know.
I feel like this about some of the material, though. Some of it is just different now. Like, I actually pulled up some stuff I taped right before we went into lockdown. Like, you know, when you're doing new spots and you're recording the sets. And I had like a bit about how we're never home. Literally, it was about how we never eat at home. And then we had like a, have you seen the Instapots? Do you guys have an Instapot?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is huge, right? And then it cooks like a chicken breast in 30 seconds. Like, you don't even, why would you ever need it that quickly? And it cooks all the flavor out of it. But anyway, that bit can't do. Can't talk about how we don't eat at home. That's all we do now. Cooking. We're not using the Instapot. We have time.
I think you just gotta manipulate the joke a little bit. I think if it's funny, it's funny. It may not be funny in its original pre-context, but you just gotta manipulate it because it's still truth in some sort of fashion. Maybe you'd switch it to I wish we could do this as opposed to what we used to do. But I believe that those jokes are funny. It's just, that's the beauty of being a small business owner, Pat, is you can control your own company the way you want to control it. You just got to manipulate things. That's all we are word manipulators.
I'm talking to one of my favorite small business owners in the game, Kevin Bozeman. Guy can...
Oh, raspy. I sound like Yoda right now. My voice is toast.
Right. You're wise now.
I thought this was going to be a... I thought it was going to be a two-minute segment. I didn't know you were going to need me to carry one-third of your show for you.
I'm about to move into your career in academia now, because I think people should know that. In addition to being a great comic, you're now teaching stand-up at DePaul.
Yeah, man. It's one of my favorite things to do. It truly is. I teach stand-up comedy at DePaul University. I was lucky enough, they actually created the class for me. And so I teach it, and it's very therapeutic. You know how you do things and you just do them because you just naturally do them? Well, in the class, I now have to answer those questions. So,
right.
So it makes me think about my actual writing process and things like that. And it's made me a much better comic, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Well, you're good at it, dude. And that's a great thing that you're doing. What is the actual name of the course, and how many credits do they get?
It's a 3-credit course.
Wow.
Four credits for grad students, and it's just called Stand Up One.
Is there a lab where you have them, like, wash your car or run errands for you?
I wish, man. I wish. The only thing now I could do is have someone come in and dust my keyboard.
That's a 3-credit course. That is awesome. All right, I want to get you out of here because we got some Blackhawks. Blackhawks hockey is about to start here in just about less than 30 seconds. So I want to plug a couple things. Get to see Kevin at Zany's Rosemont, April 15th to 17th. You're also on Instagram, KevinBozeman1, and on Twitter, at KevinBozeman. Kevin, thanks for joining me, man. You're the best.
Always, homeboy. We'll get together soon.
Enjoy your show tonight in Las Vegas. Kill it, man.
All right, man. Congrats on being on WGN Radio.